it's time for our monthly wonderful water interview, where we chat with our friends over at the Orange Water and Sewer Authority about all things water. And this month's topic is outdoor irrigation as well as water conservation. Of course, people out there might know how much of that plays into our day-to-day, but did you know that residential outdoor water use across the U.S. accounts for nearly 8 billion gallons of water each day, and it is largely for landscape irrigation. Right here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, most residents let their water that falls from the sky water their lawns and gardens, but there's still treated drinking water that's used just for landscape irrigation. And to learn a little bit more about that and about how you can manage your water use, we are joined in the studio today by OWASA Strategic Initiatives Manager Mary Tiger, as well as Chris LaLoya, who is with the North Carolina Botanical Gardens. So two very special guests joining me on Wonderful Water. Mary and Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. How are y'all?
Doing great today. Thanks for having us in.
Yeah, thank you so much. Doing well.
Absolutely. Mary, I do want to start with you. This is a broad question, and it might seem, you know, pretty simple to somebody who works in water. But for listeners out there, can you explain exactly why water conservation is important and just how often OWASA is thinking about water conservation?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because we do live in a water-rich area. But water conservation is still really important to protect our natural resources, particularly one as important as water supply for our community. We had a couple droughts in the early 2000s, 2001, 2002, 2007, 2008, and our community during those droughts really made great strides at reducing water use. And we've seen that pattern continue enough, you know, into today to say that it's pretty baked into our community here, water conservation. It's a great thing for our community and the environment. So when folks save water, they save energy. It takes a lot of energy to pump and treat drinking water. It also helps to defer costs for the utility. So we size a lot of our capital to meet demands. So when folks use less water, that big infrastructure doesn't have to be as big, and we can defer some of the costs of getting additional supply.
Yeah, several benefits listed there. And you also mentioned seeing droughts in the past. We're not in a drought right now, but of course we're at the time of the year where it's super hot outside. People might be relying a little bit less on the rain to water their lawn and landscaping. Do you guys at OWASA typically see major shifts during this time of the year when it comes to water conservation and how much water people are using?
We do, although frankly not as much as we used to, but we'll see in the summer about a half to a full million gallons extra of water demand in a day. So we do have year-round water restrictions in place just to help limit how much outdoor watering our community can do on any one day. So the easy way to think about it is that if you have an even-numbered address, you can use water for outdoor purposes for irrigation on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. And odd number addresses can irrigate with water on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Another huge contributor, I talked about the community's water conservation. A huge contributor to the reduction in peak demands has been UNC's commitment to the reclaimed water system. So a little over 10 years ago, University started using highly treated wastewater, or what we call reclaimed water, for their cooling towers, some indoor water use, and they also use it for some field irrigation. And this has reduced the summer peaks by about 20 to 25%.
Got it.
Huge impact.
Yeah, I imagine so. Well, not far from you in UNC campus is the North Carolina Botanical Garden. Chris, I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit more about your role. It says here that you are the curator of the Habitat Garden. So what does that entail? And then kind of how does water conservation work into your day-to-day work?
Yeah, well, let me start with, close to campus, we are actually part of UNC Chapel Hill. And we are a conservation garden. We focus on southeastern natives. So that my job title there, the Habitat Garden's curator, I actually take care of plant collections that are representative of the regions in the southeast, so in the southeastern U.S. So Piedmont habitat, we're in the Piedmont right here, but also mountains, sandhills, coastal plain. So we are, in addition to our beautiful display collections, we do other conservation work involving like management of natural areas. We do work with rare plant conservation. We have lots of educational programs as well. And for those of you who don't know where we are, we're at the intersection of Fordham and Old Mason Farm Road. In the last few years, we've put up a new entrance sign and landscaped it with some great drought-tolerant native plants. So that's the first place to get ideas. You don't even have to come in the door.
Yeah, and I imagine knowing as much as you do about what those native plants are, in your mind, what's some of the best ways, what are some of the tips that you have for people when it comes to watering outdoor landscaping with also, you know, water conservation in mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're watering with a WASA water or with any water, really, you want to think about how you're watering and when you're watering. So, you know, you want to water less frequently, which also works with the WASA schedule for when you should water. So less frequently and more deeply. This really allows plants to establish good, healthy root systems, which will keep them, you know, doing well when we hit those hot, dry periods that we're kind of in one right now. The other thing is to think about when. So if you're watering in the heat of the day, you're losing a lot of water to evaporation. You want to water early in the morning or late in the evening so that that water is doing the most good.
Yeah, some good advice there from Chris LaLoya, who is the curator of the Habitat Gardens at North Carolina Botanical Garden. We also have with us in the studio Mary Tiger, who is the OWASA Strategic Initiatives Manager. Of course, this conversation brought to us by OWASA, our monthly wonderful water segment, and you can find out more about what they're doing by heading to owasa.org. Now, Chris, we also, one of the things we seem to hear more about these days is thinking about your water use when you're actually deciding what landscaping to use, as you mentioned, some drought-tolerant plants at the new botanical garden sign. So can you share any further advice about, you know, the importance of finding plants that are good in our very variant North Carolina weather?
Well, I did mention that we focus on southeastern native plants, right? So that is a great place to start. You know, these plants do well in our growing conditions because it's where they're from. They're, you know, adapted to the amount of rainfall that we get, the temperatures, the humidity. So that's a great place to start. Native plants are also great for solving lots of problems. You know, they're plants that are good for erosion control or thinking about things like putting in a rain garden to help mitigate stormwater. You know, as more and more development happens in our area, all of the water that's coming off the impervious surfaces like roofs and driveways can cause trouble in the landscape. So you could do great things with native plants to kind of mitigate that. It's important to think about the right plant in the right place. So just because it's a southeastern native doesn't mean it's going to solve all your problems. You need to, you know, if you have a hot, dry, sunny spot, well, one example is, I don't know, some of the roadsides that I'm driving past these days, I'm lucky enough to see the butterfly weed blooming. It's orange right now. It's so showy and lovely. It supports monarch butterflies, and it's also super tolerant of, you know, of bad weather, of dry weather in a hot, sunny spot. So, you know, come to the botanical garden, you can see that plant blooming. You can get lots of other really good ideas for what will work for you. Another thing is we actually sell plants all the time or throughout the growing season. But we do two big sales in the spring and the fall that are staffed, and folks will help answer your questions too. So it's a good place to get ideas and information.
Oh yeah, we love having conversations with folks at the Botanical Gardens when those sales are coming up as we learn a whole bunch about the plants that are native to our community. Mary, I want to turn back to you. Obviously, we have a lot of gardening folks who are listeners out there, but I imagine a lot of listeners too are thinking, okay, when it comes to water conservation, I'm thinking about how that is affecting my water bill with OWASA. So you mentioned kind of lowering your water use to save some money. How does that ultimately play out? What does OWASA usually kind of do to track that?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So it's kind of as simple as it sounds. We charge per 1,000 gallons of water use. So the less you use, the less you pay. But our pricing structure is actually designed to incentivize water conservation. And that as you get to higher levels of consumption, that water is charged more. And so if you're irrigating a lawn, you're going to be paying quite a bit more for that water use than The first couple thousand or even 5,000 gallons that you use, that's really for essential purposes. So that promotes conservation. It helps to ensure that the water is affordable for those essential uses. And it tracks right back to our cost of service. So I mentioned before that, you know, we have to size pipes, we have to size our infrastructure to meet the highest demand. So we're able to track that right back to our costs. So we really have quite an incentive to use less water and to use smart planting, water-wise planting.
Not to get too deep into the nitty-gritty, but how does OWASA track the use for kind of each household or each customer? And is there a way that those individuals can also track their water use?
Yeah, we just, I say just, 2019 upgraded all of the meters to advanced metering infrastructure. So it's not just OWASA that can track the hourly water use information, but all OWASA customers have that data and that information at their fingertips if they go to the Agua Vista web portal. And that's a really powerful tool for customers to be able to look and see their water use, see how much water they're using for outdoor purposes or otherwise. It also will notify folks if there is a leak. So if there's kind of sustained water use over time, it will generate an email, a text, a voice call, whatever your preference is, to notify you about that leak. And irrigation systems can be, you know, one of those places where we see kind of silent water wasters, silent leaks. So it's particularly important for folks that have in-ground irrigation systems or they're irrigating.
Once again, we're speaking with Mary Tiger, who's OWASA's Strategic Initiatives Manager. We also have Chris LaLoya, the curator of the Habitat Gardens at North Carolina Botanical Gardens, speaking with us on Wonderful Water. And as we begin to wrap up, you did just mention kind of irrigation systems for the folks who are probably very interested in their lawn care and gardening and stuff like that. To wrap up, I'm curious, is there anything that folks need to know, like the difference between just using a hose and sprinkler, using kind of an in-ground irrigation system? Does one method help with water conservation more than another?
Yeah, so we've been talking about water quantity a lot. We do see, we call them hose draggers, mm-hmm. folks that are hand watering their landscape are typically using less water than those that have in-ground irrigation systems.
Okay.
But something important on the quality side, which we also think a lot about, it's as important, if not more, than quantity, is quality. And all folks that have in-ground irrigation systems in our service area are required to have backflow prevention. And what that does is that keeps the whatever might be going on in your yard, it keeps it in your yard and keeps it out of the distribution system and everyone's drinking water. So that's really important, that if you have an in-ground irrigation system, that you have backflow prevention and that you're having that inspected on an annual basis to make sure that it's keeping whatever you have going on your side on your side and not in the drinking water system.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Chris, I don't know if there's anything else to necessarily add on to that, but I imagine that the botanical garden probably has its own irrigation system and focuses on stuff on that end. Is there anything else you want to add on about that, or that you think our listeners should know about the botanical garden?
Yeah, well, I will talk just a little bit about one of our main irrigation systems runs off of cisterns. So we collect water off of the roofs of the building. So not only is that great for watering plants without even getting OWASA in the loop, but it also helps deal with that stormwater issue that I mentioned earlier. So that is, it captures the rainwater and releases it more slowly over time. But yeah, that's very helpful to us to keep our collections watered.
Especially since they're extensive collections too.
Yeah. Actually, I have a plug for the garden as we're wrapping up here. You can get a lot more information out of us if you check out our website. It is NCBG, like North Carolina Botanical Garden, .unc.edu. And some of the things that you'll find on our website are links to our classes and lectures, so you can learn more that way. You can also find a place where you can submit a question to ask the Green Gardener, and you can get a response to your plant questions. You could also sign up for our newsletter, and that's a good way to stay in the loop with what's happening there. I also want to add that the Venus flytraps are blooming like crazy right now. So if you're a regular at the garden, you should come. And if you've never come to the garden before, you should really come. I'm not going to sell Venus flytraps as the best water-wise landscaping plant, but
sure,
they are a cool North Carolina native that we should all know more about.
It's a good pitch. It's a very good pitch. And Mary, anything else to add from the OWASA side? I don't know if you guys have Venus flytraps to try and draw people in with.
But my favorite carnivorous plant is a pitcher plant, but I do like Venus flytraps. I'm going to send you to a website too, owasa.org, where folks can sign up for the Agua Vista web portal and track their water use. Again, it's a really powerful tool. And if you only sign in once and make sure that it knows how to get a hold of you when there is a leak or some sort of issue, that's just an important step to take to save water. But there's also lots of kind of customized tips for water conservation indoors and outdoors at Agua Vista.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, once again, owasa.org, the website to go to learn more about a lot of what we've been talking about today here on Wonderful Water. Mary Tiger, Chris LaLoya, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on 97.9 The Hill.
Thank you, Brighton.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Chris.